Blog Talk Radio.
This is Francesca Durham of francescadurham.com, and today we're going to be speaking with vibrant, dynamic communicator and psychotherapist Sherry Lynn. Sherry Lynn once served as an ordained minister caring for the spiritual needs of community for over a decade. She holds a master's degree in theological studies and counseling, as well as intensive training in Imago relationship therapy and transformational arts. Her psychotherapy practice opened in 2009, and Sherry Lynn now works collaboratively with mentors and colleagues and continues working as a registered nurse and a registered psychotherapist. Hello, Sherry Lynn. Thank you for joining me today.
Good morning, Francesca. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sherry Lynn,
one of my
you
favorite
I
things
have...
is... Sorry. I was
it's
just
okay.
going to say
Go
one
ahead.
Of my favorite things is to talk about Mari. So this will be fun.
It most definitely will be. Sherry Lynn, you and I have the pleasure of connecting through an Imago workshop where I remember receiving your information about Mari, and I just knew at the time it would only be a matter of time before I'd follow up to learn more from you. So I really am excited to bring awareness to our listeners today about the benefits of Mari. So are you ready to get started?
Mm-hmm. I'm pleased that the Mari stayed in your mind all this time. It was a bit like that for me. I came to Mari on an intuitive impulse, like you did, Francesca. Yes, I'd love to get started.
Okay, perfect. So, well, where does one start but at the beginning? Tell us about Mari. What is Mari? Who created Mari? And for what purpose?
Well, first, the term Mari is an acronym. So M-A-R-I, and that stands for Mandela Assessment Research Instrument. It's a psychological tool, and it was created in the 80s and 90s by a brilliant art therapist named Joan Kellogg. So Mari uses Mandela's colors and symbols. Mandelas aren't new. In fact, they're ancient. Colors and symbols aren't new either. There are many tools that use colors and symbols. Just take a look on the internet. But the true genius of the Mari is to make the placement of symbol and colors within a mandala systematic. And it's a systematic thing that really adds the punch and the power to Mari. This comprehensive system of colors and symbols and how they show up on a mandala are associated in the human mind with stages of psychological development of every human being. So Mari basically is a psychological tool, and it has two purposes. First, as an assessment tool. So the Mari lets a person literally see deep into their own being, into their unconscious. It's powerful. And second, the Mari is therapeutic. So unlike other tools, Mari provides intuitive guidance and solutions to problems right there. And this is really important to me as a therapist because I don't see it as my job to tell a client what to do. It's my job to help them to discover their own wisdom. And the Mari is a great way to do that. So when Joan developed this, Joan was a PhD student working in a mental health institution, working with lots of high-powered people in the psychological world. So she asked everybody she could get a hold of to draw mandalas. She had high-functioning people. She had people from the mental institution she was working at. She had educated and uneducated people, people of many ethnic backgrounds. She had them all draw a mandala. And what I mean by a mandala is she had a piece of paper with a circle drawn on it, and she had them draw anything they wanted in that mandala, any color, anything. It could look like something or not look like something. And she worked with these people. She talked with them. She observed them. And she deeply, deeply listened to their stories. And one day, she sat in a great big room. And she had, by this time, she had thousands of mandalas and thousands of stories. And she could see that there was some kind of pattern, some kind of theme. When people were having conflict, certain things showed up on their mandala. When they were experiencing loss and grief, certain things showed up. When they were starting something new, certain things showed up. So she put these thousands of mandalas, put them up on the wall all around her, and she sat down in the middle of that room, and she meditated. And she sat there, and she sat there, and she sat there until she intuited a developmental pattern common to all these stories. And really, what was amazing was it turned out to be a developmental pattern common to all living things. It was so powerful. So it got started by Joan Kellogg doing this. She started off with, at that point, and it's been in development for the next maybe 15 years that she worked with it, because she tested it with her clients and she checked it out and she tested it for validation. So it's had quite a bit of research done on it to ensure that it's valid and accurate. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky to have access to it now.
Absolutely. Joan Kellogg's body of work is incredible. And just to reiterate the two purposes that you spoke of, were one being the assessment tool and two being therapeutic. And, you know, you have to mention the fact that Mari does reach far and wide, culturally speaking. So, yeah. Okay, let's talk about using Mari not only as a therapeutic tool, but how about a tool for healing and wholeness? And by this, I mean reconnecting with our essence and enriching our lives with creativity.
Well, it's very different than any other tool I think that you've ever used. So when a client comes in, we start out and they do the same thing as Joan's clients did. All these people she knew, we sit down, we give you a piece of paper with a circle drawn on it and 48 different colored pastels, and we say, okay, draw whatever comes up. So there's creativity and magical stuff that happens in that. And it doesn't have to look like anything. It doesn't have to feel, it doesn't have to have words. It can have numbers and words. It can look like something. It can be blobs of color. It can be squiggles of color. It can be inside or outside the circle. Anything goes. And sometimes we start that process off because many people, when faced with a big white sheet of paper, get a kind of freaked out, and they get a little bit anxious about that. So sometimes we lead them in with a meditation to get people connected with their bodies and with color and their intuition. And I have not seen anybody who can't do it yet. They will actually sit down and do the drawing. So the drawing takes a few minutes, and then it's so simple. We just ask people from a deck of 39 symbol cards to choose several that they like, one that they don't like, and a couple that might have some wisdom for them. It's very simple. It's pick a card. That simple. And then we ask them to match each of these symbols with a color. And there are 45 different colors that they can choose to match these with. And it's strange. People think, oh, that's kind of silly. But when they actually try to match a card to their favorite color, they go, oh, it's not that color. It's a different color, a color I would never have chosen. So some very interesting things start to happen. People start to get pulled into the process and start to become very curious about the fact that they're being drawn to certain colors that don't normally rise up in their world. So we use this. This is how the process goes. We take all of those cards then, and we put them on the great round, which is really just the systematic chart that Joan has created for us. And now we can sit down and talk about it. And being able to see all these cards you chose with the symbols, look at those and talk about them together, begin to understand what they each mean laid right out there in front of us. Remember, Jung said that whatever we do in a circle leads us closer to wholeness. So we are allowed to shift things around within our sense of being. And as long as we do it within a circle, no part of us gets stuck in a corner somewhere. Every part is important as the rest. And so what we do inside of a circle always leads us closer to wholeness. Jung said the circle, or the mandala, was the symbol, the best symbol he could find to represent the self. And so there's something that happens to our sense of wholeness, to our essence, to our sense of spirituality when we do it in a circle. And it's not even something that I can tell you about. It's an experiential thing.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. You have to experience the Mari. In order to see how it really unfolds for you, for the individual. Sherry, I just quickly want to say that for any callers, I see there is one on the line. I won't be accepting calls today, but for caller 8292, if you would like to get in touch with Sherry Lynn directly, please do contact her via her website, sherrylynnpsychotherapy.ca. Did you want to continue elaborating on that, Sherry Lynn, or shall we move on?
No, I think let's move on. There's lots more to talk about with Mari.
Okay. So moving on, let's explore the benefits of using Mari for post-traumatic stress disorder, for mental illness, for recovery, for healing and wellness. And I know that's asking a lot for you to cover, but if you could just really relate those benefits of this whole discovery and this whole experience for people. What's in it for them, I think, is the question that I'm asking you.
Oh, my gosh, there's so much in it, Francesca. When we experience things like PTSD, trauma, mental illness, addiction recovery, these are very common problems in today's world. When we experience those things, our sense of self can become fragmented. Parts of who we are get pushed underground. It's not emotionally safe to express all of who we are. Sometimes it's not more than emotionally safe. Sometimes it's not even physically safe to express who we are when we're experiencing these things. And we can feel so fragmented and so disconnected from ourselves that we even forget we once had those parts. So the Mari gives us a chance to see with our very own eyes those lost parts of us. So when I have a client come into my office for treatment for these things that you're talking about, trauma, addiction, life patterns that aren't working, I do a detailed assessment. So these sorts of issues are typically long-standing, complex issues. And successful therapy might take several months, maybe even longer. So in the first two or three sessions, I'll do Mari as a part of my assessment. And several things happen during that Mari session. First, once the cards are laid out on the great round, the client literally sees themselves and their issues laid out in visual form right in front of them, all their issues right there. And this makes it a lot easier to talk about. But many things in life are very difficult to talk about, things like terror and loneliness. You know what I'm talking about, Francesca?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep.
Grief and loss and yearning. There's so much a part of us that's hard to talk about. With the Mari, you don't need words. You choose symbols, you choose colors, I put them on the great round, and you can see it. You can feel it. You don't have to put language on it yet, if ever. And what's more, someone else.
That's the key that you just said, is that you put language on it. I think that's a beautiful expression of what Mari actually allows you to do.
Absolutely. And what's more, so now it's out there, the client sees it, and they can maybe talk about it. But what's more, someone else sees it. And in this case, it would be me or the facilitator. Someone else sees it and feels it, even when you can't talk about it. And being seen and heard and witnessed is absolutely primary to healing, in my opinion. So when a client chooses their symbol and color cards and lays them on the mandala, even before we talk about it, before anything is ever said, I get a visceral sense of what's happening with this client before I know anything else about them. And sometimes I can actually feel their nausea in my own gut when I look at their drawing. Or I feel the disorientation that makes my head spin. You know, that's not my nausea or my dizziness. It's the client's. I can see it and I can feel it when we lay out the cards on the Mari board. So that's very powerful. Another thing that happens with the Mari is the Mari always shows an area of discomfort or conflict. So this gives us a place to start. And this is a place that this client unconsciously chose. So I'm not saying, okay, we're going to start and deal with your relationship with such and such. They're saying where they start from the deepest part of them. That's really important. Also, the Mari always shows the strengths of the client. So in the process of choosing cards, two of those cards represent the inner wisdom of the client. And that's really important because really, who wants someone to see them for the first time at their worst, in their deepest pain, with troubled relationships and life problems? I sure as heck don't. The Mari ensures that at least two positive things are seen, and this is a great way to start building a therapeutic relationship, building connection between the client and the facilitator, and it helps the client to have compassion for themselves. They start to see their good stuff, because sometimes when we have trouble, we forget about our good stuff. So that's really beautiful. So there's so much to say about Mari that's amazing. I have two more things I'll tell you about at this point. The Mari cards are laid out on mandala. So a mandala or a mandala, they're just different ways of pronouncing it, is a circle.
Okay.
So the Mari presents everything as a circle, as a cycle, as a life cycle. One thing leads to the next. So if someone is stuck in grief, for example, and they don't know how to get unstuck, has that ever happened to you? Yeah. The Mari always shows the next step. This is such a hopeful aspect of Mari. So even when we can't, we don't know how to get out, it shows us the doorway. And one more thing that Mari does that is rarely addressed in psychological community, and that is spirituality. So at the core of all these things we've been talking about, trauma, addiction, grief, mental illness, lies our sense of essence, our sense of something bigger than us. And when we talk about things like essence and spirituality and God, the universe, we have so many different ways of understanding that in our complex society. So however it shows up for the client, however they understand God to be, inside or outside or no God, however they understand that they're part of something bigger than us, it is included and valued, and it has a place in the Mari. There's a place to put that. And it doesn't matter who it is. It supports this diversity. It's accessible. And in so many of our other tools, spirituality is the part that's missing. So that's a really amazing part about the Mari. And it's one of those things, like we said at the beginning, that are hard to talk about. So even if we don't have a language for it, we know it's there. We can see it. We can refer to it, even if we don't know what to call it.
Wow, that is a wonderful presentation of the Mari system, and what it's all about, as you said, to be seen, to be heard, to be witnessed, and building that, just building that presence, or rebuilding that person from within for healing. There's so much there. There's so much goodness that's happening. I think that's what I wanted to say here. So thank you for sharing so much information, and there's so much more. It's only the tip of the iceberg here, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I think that's kind of the big thing, is that when you come in with a problem, the Mari has a strong visual reminder of what's right for you, what's right with you, what is working. That is always a part of it. Wholeness is wholeness is your birthright.
Yes, it is. I'm going to, let's move on. I want to share a statement here that I have and get your comments on it really quickly, just to share how your work with Mari would support this statement. And it's a quote here. It says, Freud and Jung were contemporaries, and Jung believed that we were far more than our personal unconscious, and we were the sum product of our evolutionary heritage, of our genetic and cultural. And not only was this true on a human level, that we were the rich sum of all that came before us genetically, Jung believed that we were also connected to a rich collective and often unconscious repository of instinctual and intuitive knowledge. What are your comments?
Well, we could talk about that for years, and some people do. Yeah. I am not that sort of scholar. However, I'm much more simple-minded. And so the way I understand this, or the way I look at these two things, so embedded in what you said, I understand there are two ways of looking at our unconscious, the personal unconscious that Freud and Jung talked about, and the collective unconsciousness that Jung took on. And the way I look at the personal unconscious, and this was Freud's thing, he taught us this, and we've taken it on. It's almost, it's a given, even though it's not really a real thing. It's just a concept for us to understand it. But imagine an iceberg, and that's how I like to see the personal unconscious. So if an iceberg, we can only see a little bit at the top from on top of the water. 9/10 of the iceberg is below the water, unseen from above. And this powerful part of the iceberg determines where the iceberg moves. It moves with the current from under there. It's kind of like our unconscious, our own personal unconscious, that I only there's only a part of me that I can see and that you can see of me. The rest is unseen. That's my unconscious. But that part has huge power over my life and the things I do and say and the choices I make. And I think what lives in there, at least what I think Freud was telling us, was that everything that's ever happened to us since our moment of conception, in the womb, when we were very young, these things have been long forgotten. They're still triggered in us. It lives there in the personal unconscious. Things like repressed urges and fantasies live here. So Jung agreed with this model of the personal unconscious, but it wasn't near enough for him. So he took it further. And this is where Freud and Jung parted ways as friends and colleagues. It was very traumatic for them both, actually. So Jung believed that there was a deeper level of unconsciousness in mankind, and he called it the collective unconscious. So it's here that he imagined are all the things that's ever happened to humanity as a whole, things that happened way before we were ever born, hundreds, thousands, millions of years ago. And it explains things like why every culture has a creation myth, or why you and I have the same dream today when we're going to see each other. Why is that? Or that two different people in different parts of the world are discovering the same stem cell technique that just happened, right? Why do those things happen? Mm-hmm. That comes from this collective unconscious. And I look at that as under the iceberg and under the ocean, there's this primordial soup. A primordial soup that contains all the thoughts and experiences of all people that ever were. And we all have access to that. And archetypes live in there. What it means to be a mother lives in there. What it means to be a monster, or what it means to be swallowed up by the earth, or what it means to be awake and alive comes from there. And all people have experienced these things. So these ideas weren't very well supported when Jung was putting them out. But what's really cool right now, in our time, there's support for this. Mm-hmm. So modern neuroscientists, I don't know if you know this, are finding evidence that our DNA has some sort of memory coding from at least 5 generations ago. This means that we carry the memories of our great-great-great-grandparents in our DNA, and we're affected by it today. So it looks like Jung was right, and we're proving it with science now. So how is all this related to the Mari? Well, the Mari shows both.
Yeah,
the personal unconscious and the collective unconscious. So, for example, a color or a symbol in the Mari can have a collective meaning. And that might be, I might have a color green on my Mari. And there's a universal collective meaning of green. Mm-hmm. And green might be representing healing and growth. So if I have a green symbol on my Mari, it could represent an area of growth for me. But as I said, there is also personal meaning in the Mari. So perhaps when I was a child, when my father was angry, he would strap me with a bright green belt. So the green in my Mari may have nothing to do with growth and healing. It may, for me in this moment, represent pain and anger and punishment. So to me, that's a little, there's stuff that is true for all of us in the Mari, and then there are things that are true for us as individuals in the Mari. So that's how I see it showing up. And certainly Joan Kellogg was a huge fan of Carl Jung. Huge.
Thank you. Let's move on. I just want to say, from my own experience with Mari, I realize the comfort and trust that's quickly established between client and the Mari practitioner. And you facilitate an experience from one human being to another through listening. And listening is a skill. It's an art in itself. And providing that comfort to another person to support them in the process of where they are now on this unique journey we call life is really what happens in that Mari session. And any comments?
I totally agree, Francesca. And the Mari is so non-threatening. Choosing a few symbols, matching them with colors, non-threatening. It's such an easy thing to do. People tend to approach it with an open heart. Oh, you just want me to pick a card? Sure, here's one. Right? That's so easy. It gets us below our thinking brain. And I love what you said about listening to another person. When I think of childhood development, the most important thing we can do for our children is to see and hear them. That's how kids develop a sense of identity and a sense of self. And most of us didn't get enough of that in our childhoods. And deep down, we crave that now. So when we're struggling or hurting or curious, what we need the most of all is for someone to simply be there, to see us and to hear us. And so several things happen in a Mari session relating to listening. First, the Mari facilitator witnesses the client, and that can be absolutely profound. I've watched witness people just cry being heard and seen at such a depth. Second, the client sees him or herself. And so then this supports the development of an inner observer. And over time, this capacity to do this soothes our anxiety, and it leads to a greater capacity for self-compassion. And I've even heard from some of the Mari facilitators that I've trained that being part of this process moves something deep in them, and this encourages their growth. So, yeah, Francesca, we journey together in this process, heart to heart. It's a gift for both the client and the facilitator.
It really is. It really is. And that whole aspect of listening or tuning in, if you will, as you say, for the person that is there in that session, it is soothing, it is relaxing, it is releasing. I've been through it myself, and I've also recently completed my training to be a Mari practitioner with you, so that in itself was a journey. The case studies were incredible, and I'm just so grateful to have had the opportunity to work with so many people to not just understand their stories, but as you explained to us in our training, how we really are all connected on a deeper level. So what I know for sure, and I'm just skipping a question ahead, not to throw you off at all here, Shiplin, but what I know for sure is that Mari doesn't lie. So what are your thoughts on that? And the reason I bring it up is because in working with my case studies, you know, people might sit down and think, oh, yeah, I got this covered. No problem. I'm going to, you know, breeze through this. And it's easy. And it's not that it isn't simple. It's just so thought-provoking when they see the outcome, when they see what unfolds after the fact. Mari does not lie.
Absolutely. And unexpected things do show up in the Mari. And it can be very uncomfortable to see those parts of ourselves right out there in red and white and black and green. That can be really uncomfortable for us to see it. But the psyche only shows what a person can deal with. It might not be comfortable, but there's if a person's psyche puts it forth, they're ready to see it. They're ready to start grappling with that. Might not be ready to heal it yet, but they're ready to begin to see it. And only the person who looks, only the person who's chosen the cards, and this is important, the only person who has the ability to ascertain the truth of the Mari is the client. So you and I as facilitators, Francesca, we might be able to shed some light onto a color or a symbol or a placement. Our words might help a person articulate their experience, but whatever interpretations we might have must resonate with the client. They're the boss. They're in charge. This is their stuff. I think that's really important.
It really is. And, you know, can you believe we're down to a minute and a half? I could go on. We might have to do another one of these. We have to do Mari part two. But
we might have to.
I'd like to thank you, Sherry Lynn. It's been such a pleasure sharing wisdom and encouragement for our listeners today. I know you're doing a presentation in the fall about Mari. Just really quickly tell us where that's going to be.
Yeah, it's at the Canadian Art Therapy Association Conference in Toronto on October the 15th for anyone interested in arts and healthcare or therapy or education.
Perfect. Thank you again so much. This has been a great conversation, one that we must continue.
This has been
Francesca Durma of francescaderm.com, and this concludes today's featured interview. Until next time. Thanks again, Sherry Lynn. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye, Francesca, and everyone.
Bye for now.